Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs.
Welcome to Our House. This is Rob Blake sitting in for Peter Hunt. This show is brought to you by HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Greater Albany, Utica, Watertown, and even Phoenix, Arizona. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask for one of their skilled mortgage consultants to work with you. Hunt Mortgage has a low rate guarantee. They will match any other competitor's rate. They also have what's called a pre-purchase commitment, which is basically same as cash, which can dramatically make your offer stronger. Check out the low rate guarantee. Certain restrictions apply and details are on their website at huntmortgage.com or simply call 633-3700. And don't forget about the first ever 24-hour, 7-day-a-week real estate hotline. The Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, and even Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800. You enter the house number, and no matter who's listening it is, you'll begin to get information immediately to your phone. You're given a text that will bring you to a dedicated website of that property. Fall market is upon us, and there is a shortage of homes. This is no secret to anybody. There's also no shortage of qualified buyers. So if you or anyone you know has been considering selling your home, call Hunt today for a free home evaluation. Now is the time. There are no obligations. Hunt will also list your home for free. And remember that you do never pay a commission unless Hunt is successful in finding a qualified buyer with an offer that you find acceptable. And remember, only from a Hunt agent will you hear these words: we will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller's security plan. Ask about how it can work for you by calling 633-9400 or stopping into one of our many open houses this weekend. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and Rochester Americans. Our house is broadcast live on WBEN 930 AM. For those of you who would like to participate in today's show, if you have any questions or comments about any aspect of real estate, call us at the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 or *930. Those are all free calls, so please join us on the air at Our House. We have a very special show today. My guest is my good friend, Matt Albino, who works for Mueller Reports, which is an evaluation and inspection company. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for joining me. There's a lot to talk about today. I wanted to get right into it because I know that you have a lot of in-the-field experience with evaluations and looking at properties. Can you tell me a little bit about what you and your company does?
Sure. Mueller, we are a national provider of property inspections and valuation services, as you mentioned. We predominantly work with banks and insurance companies across the country, putting eyes on properties in every county in the U.S.
Okay. And I know you've been in this business for quite some time. I know you and I have shared quite a few stories about experiences we've had going through properties. Matt, like I, is very, very hands-on. So when we go through properties, we're looking at things a lot differently than the average person. Things that you would never think to look for, and we've run into quite a few things out there. Matt, anything come to mind? Any funny story? Anything you could think of that you've run into when you've been out on the field?
You know, my current position doesn't allow me to get out in the field, unfortunately. But in a past life, I did work in an inspection capacity for a commercial mortgage lender, and I've had some pretty precarious situations present themselves to me. You know, properties that were in some very ill neighborhoods, if you will, some situations where I felt very insecure. We won't elaborate on those too much.
But I've run into things a lot of times when we have appraisals taking place. Obviously, the appraiser needs to go through the property, and I'll be working with a homeowner, and they'll tell me something along the lines, everything's fine, just don't let them go in this one particular area. And, you know, I'm sorry, they're going to have to see the entire property. So that doesn't tend to work. When it comes to appraisals, it's a great topic to kind of parlay into one of the big things I wanted to talk about. Whenever you sell your home, the purchaser, if they're getting financing, is going to have the lender send an appraiser out. The appraiser's job is twofold. One, they're there to make sure the property is worth what the bank is willing to loan for the home, but they're also there to make sure the property is in fair condition or an acceptable condition. And depending on the type of financing, will also dictate exactly what it is they're looking for. So they're going to be a little bit more strict with an FHA or a VA loan. We have one in particular right now that I've been working with where there was some peeling paint on an old older home, which was flagged. The homeowner and the purchaser have been trying to rectify the problem, and they've been out to the property where an appraiser has been now five times. The reason I'm saying this is because every time an appraiser comes out for a reinspection, someone is paying for that reinspection. Oftentimes we have people that will try and get something done very quickly, and at the end of the day what happens is they have to do the reinspect, and you have to pay that fee over and then over again. Now, I've never had it go this many times, but this property in particular had some pretty severe issues. The reason we're worried about peeling paint is because if a house is built before 1978, could have lead-based paint in it, and that could be detrimental, especially if kids pick up paint chips. Is that something that your company looks for, Matt, when you're out there?
We would be a little bit more general in our inspection. Typically, we work with, from an inspection standpoint, predominantly lenders and insurance companies, and we would be out there to document property condition, neighborhood condition, and so on. We wouldn't necessarily be testing for lead-based paint.
Is there any difference between what an appraiser is looking for an insurance company versus a lender?
So you're looking at you're looking at properties that or situations that influence value as opposed to situations that influence risk. So
right.
From a lender perspective, lenders are want to understand what that property is worth and how condition influences that. And from an insurance perspective, they want to look at how condition influences risk and how that risk influences.
Right. From a strictly residential perspective, I know the appraisers, when they're out there, looking for both. And the safety concerns are one of the big things. So looking at the type of electrical panel they have, they're looking for broken windows, they're looking for handrails where you have two or more steps. So the list is quite long. If you're thinking about selling your home, these are important questions that you need to have answered before that for sale sign goes up in the front lawn. If you can circumvent or avoid these issues before they get cited, the process goes much, much smoother. If anybody out there has had an issue with an appraisal in the past, I'd love to hear a story. Please give us a call at 716-803-0930. I know, Matt, when you had bought your house, the whole entire loan process took a bit longer than what it typically does. Do you care to share a little bit about that story?
Yeah, and unfortunately, I only have one experience buying a home. About 3.5 years ago, Rob helped me purchase my first home, and I'm grateful for his services. But the mortgage process was a bit frustrating and extended, if you will. Numerous contacts throughout the process and so on. So it was a bit frustrating, and I do think, doing independent research in this industry and kind of keeping up on the times, I think there's a lot of things in the pipeline that are going to sort of streamline that process.
Right before we got in here today, Matt and I were talking at length about how frustrating the entire mortgage process can be. It's great that I work for a company like Hunt Mortgage, who has really streamlined the process, who has gotten things down where typically when we tell people you're closing in about 60 days, I've had numerous loans over the past few years that are closing in 55, 50, 45, 40 days. We're a hometown mortgage company. We live in the area. We service the area. We know the blocks. When you're calling someplace like Quicken Loans, for instance, they don't know, Cheektowaga from Tonawanda. And from a seller's perspective, when I'm representing my sellers as a seller's agent, and we get offers on the table, if one of them happens to be a lender with whom I disagree, had a poor experience or never heard of, I will often advise my seller to ask or request that the purchaser contact another lender, someone that's more reputable or more well-known or that we've had a better experience with. Hunt Mortgage has been killing it for me and my clients for the past few years. I can't be happier with them. Now, Matt, you and I were talking about the streamlining of the loan. One of the problems when it comes to many businesses, and real estate is no different, is we have so many hands in the pot. You go to buy a house, you're sitting down with your agent. Now you have an agent that represents the seller of the home. Then you have an attorney for the seller, an attorney for the buyer. You have the mortgage consultant, the mortgage processor, the appraiser, the underwriter. There's so many different people involved in here. If one person isn't doing their job as quickly as they should, as effectively as they should, it could dramatically hold up the purchase process or even have it just fall apart. You and I were discussing how things in the future are going to be going more towards more automation. So what do you foresee happening with that?
Yeah, and I'm by no means a mortgage process expert, but I'm just going off of what I read in the news and such. And I really think things like income verification and asset verification are going to become more and more automated in the months and years to come, mm-hmm. which inevitably is going to lead to automated form filling and so on and so forth. So, part of the challenge in having all of those folks and their independent responsibilities from a project management perspective, it's just tough to manage all of that.
Right.
So, consolidating those responsibilities and being able to automatically complete them without human intervention is
yeah, you get someone they don't feel well and they're not there on a Friday, and that's when something was due and the person who's supposed to cover him didn't get the email, that kind of stuff. It does happen. It's unfortunate, and that the people that are buying the house are the ones who ultimately suffer. So one of the great things I know about Hunt Mortgage that they do is they have not only an online initial application to do the income verification and to start the process, but then also you have the human aspect that's also local. So it kind of takes care of both things. Some of those bigger online lenders where they're just throwing the net out there and they're just getting application after application, I've had terrifically poor experiences with on a personal level, to the point where if I see something from one of those bigger companies come in, and I'll just say, geez, you know what? I've had four of these come across my desk. Three of them didn't do proper income verification because the people just keyed in themselves. So getting that aspect is absolutely helpful. And I know that somebody out there has had a poor experience with a mortgage or a lender on some level. I'd love to hear a story. Give us a call at 803-0930. So, Matt, you've been in your house now for how many years?
We're going on 3.5 years, believe it or not.
All right. Any surprises when you bought the house?
I was fortunate enough to come into a situation where the home was immaculately maintained. So aside from routine maintenance, I've had to put a little bit of money into my boiler and various other, I would say, household items.
Right.
No surprises, though.
How about the new roof? Wasn't that a surprise?
That was a bit of a surprise, and I actually forgot about that. As a result of the November storm back in 2015, we had some severe roof damage, and fortunately, our insurance company was gracious enough to take care of that for us.
Yeah, when you bought the house, it already had a pretty new roof on it.
Yeah, the roof, I believe, was about 12 or 13 years old when I bought the property, so I managed to get a brand new roof out of that storm, although the process wasn't exactly relaxing.
No, I'm sure. But, I'm sure.
We have a brand new 30-year plus CertainTeed roof on right now.
So, I mean, obviously we know there's no such thing as a perfect home, and we expect there to be issues. So when we're going to a home, the things that we want to look at are the big things, the big ticket items, the things that are going to set us back thousands of dollars. Roof is one of the first things we look at, and whenever I walk up to a property with my purchasers for the first time, the first thing they want to do is walk into the house. And, Matt, I know you firsthand, we did this. You want to go in. You want to see the kitchen. You want to see the counters. You want to see if they have soft closed drawers and cabinets, ceramic. You want to see what the house has or what it doesn't have. But the reason that's a mistake is because you can overlook something major. Going walk around the outside, I don't care if it's snowing or raining out, look at that roof. Look at those gutters. Take a walk. Look at the exterior of the foundation, because oftentimes you can start seeing cracks on the exterior right there, which is a good indicator that you may have an issue before you walk in the house. And I understand that people want to get in there, but it's important because it is a fun and exciting experience, but it's also most likely the most expensive thing that you and I or they will ever buy. So before we go and we look at those things, I just had a transaction not too long ago. House was in phenomenal condition. I represented a purchaser. We came across a couple of older windows, and it was enough to scare him from purchasing the house. In my opinion, that was a mistake, because we're going to walk through houses, and we're going to find issues. We're going to find a leaky faucet. We might find a receptacle that doesn't work or something that needs to be swapped out. But if we have solid bones, and that's the one thing. When I'm working with home inspectors, the good ones are focusing on the main things. They're going to find everything. They're going to or close to everything, and they're going to give you a list of all those things. But you don't, from a purchaser, especially a first-time home buyer, you don't want to be scared of those things. That's what their job is. They're there for 2-3 hours to go through that house and find every little thing. And they're going to tell you everything, and sometimes it's overwhelming. You get this book, and it's just got pages and pages of this little window, this window's cracked over here. Oh, the gutter's leaking on this side, or the shrubs are growing too close to the house, so the garage window's cracked here too. And they see all this, and they say, oh my God, it's going to cost me $50,000 to fix all these things. But we want to look at how's the house live for you? Is it a nice layout? Is it in a good location? How's the roof look? How's that foundation? How's your furnace? Those are the big things. Even things like a hot water tank. It's $550 for a new hot water tank. Do you have a new hot water tank in your house?
I actually did have a new hot water tank installed recently.
Yeah.
I did it proactively, to be honest with you. I had no issues with my hot water tank. It just, it was about 12 years old, I believe.
All right.
So I believe it served the house well. And rather than deal with the fallout of a malfunctioning hot water tank, I decided to proactively.
Did you put it in yourself or did you call somebody?
I did not. I had a contractor put it in.
Yeah, how much did you charge you?
It cost me about $800.
$800. That's pretty common. So the cost, if you go to Depot right now, hot water tank off the shelf, you're looking at about $550, maybe $600, depending on the brand and the gallon, things like that. Calling a plumber, $800, $900 typically. So when I walk through a house and I see someone's eyes and they focus in on this hot water tank that's brown and full of cobwebs and has a drip coming out of the one valve, I tell them, don't be afraid. This isn't that big of a deal. I don't want you to walk away from a home that you have said nothing but great things and you love, and it's three doors down from your parents, and you want to be close to family. It's got everything you want, but an old hot water tank that's going to cost you $800 to swap out. Don't walk away from this house. Keep that in mind. So it's important in the market that we're in because we have a shortage of homes, which is driving up the property values. Almost every one of my buyers is competing with 2, 3, 4 offers. And if you say, geez, I'll put my offer and it's a good offer, but I'm asking for the hot water tank to be replaced before we even get our offer accepted, you're putting yourself in a compromised position. So I know you're in a phenomenal neighborhood, Matt. Some of the things that you've done to your house, didn't you also you fenced the property recently, did you not?
I was the recipient of a fence. My neighbor in the backyard actually fenced the property. So I've got the nice, beautiful vinyl fence facing my
backyard. It's always nice when someone else pays for it, huh?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Now, Matt does a great job on just maintaining his home. As we walk around properties, one of the things you'll hear me say over and over again is the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that holds true with home ownership more than I can tell you right now. Little things like making sure that water is just flowing away from the house. So a $12 downspout with an elbow to keep the water away from your foundation instead of just dumping against the corner can save you a $10,000 foundation repair. And it sounds stupid, but I can't tell you how many homes every single day I walk into and I say, geez, if they just had put this over here, then this wouldn't have happened. So there's a lot of those maintenance things that it's important that you do.
And those are some of the precise items that Mueller looks for, specifically when we're out there, inspecting properties for insurance purposes. Is there water flowing? Is there water flowing directly over the walkway into the house? Is there a disconnected downspout?
Right, right.
Is there uneven concrete as a result of water infiltration?
Trip hazards,
absolutely.
Things like that.
Sure.
Yeah. So they work for both insurance companies and for lenders. Is that right?
Yeah. Like I said before, a lender would be less so concerned with what we identify as hazard items, trip and fall, so on and so forth, but condition more.
Great.
So.
We have James from Williamsville calling. Hello, James. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm planning on selling my home probably in about a year, but I need a new roof on the home, and I was looking at getting one of those metal roofs.
Okay.
They look kind of different, but I don't know if it makes the home actually look different. Does that affect the value of the home?
That's a great question, Jimmy. So we have a couple different roofs that are out there. Metal ones have become more and more popular these days. It's going to depend on a number of factors. Location, believe it or not, is going to be a big influence on how much it impacts the value. If you're more in a rural environment, it's not uncommon to see the metal roofs. They're a phenomenal product. They last very well. And I've seen them done specifically in different properties. I've actually just sold one in the city that has a copper color to it. Now, it's a regular metal roof, but it has the appearance of copper on it. And people have walked by, and I've personally heard them say, God, what a beautiful copper roof this house has. And this is a house that's right on Bidwell Parkway in a phenomenal location, a very desirable. Now, if you throw a metal roof on a property that's in a new development, say in Clarence or Lancaster, it may have a different effect. So you said you're in Williamsville. Is that right, Jim?
Yes.
So most of the houses in your neighborhood are going to have a standard asphalt shingle roof. My advice, if you're going to be selling the house and you need a roof, is to get the roof on. I would get just a regular architectural shingle roof. I talk to at least 3 or 4 different roofers. Let the roofers know you're talking to other roofers to try and have them compete and give you the best number possible. And the one thing I do want to point out, Jim, is that getting a new roof does not add value to your home. And that's one of the it's a bitter pill for some of my sellers to swallow, because I'll talk to someone and they'll say, well, every house in my block will say is selling for $100,000. I just got a new $10,000 roof. My house is worth $110,000. No, unfortunately not. What you've done is you've maintained the value. Your house is still worth $100,000. If that roof was shot, it's going to affect how attractive the property is, and it'll even affect if it can get a loan on it. And if you can't get a loan on your house and you're marketing strictly to either cash buyers or people going with like a 203 or a rehab loan, you're going to expect to get dramatically less. So a $10,000 roof can make a $100,000 house now worth $85,000. Put that roof on, you're going to maintain the $100,000 of value in the house. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it definitely needs a roof before I put it on the market.
Well, I definitely would get one then, Jim. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Okay. So, yeah, speaking about roofs, I've been working with a couple different roofing companies, as I know you have, Matt, just because you had the new roof put on your house, and it's one of those bigger ticket items. What I've run into now, I have a good friend who I recommended talk to one particular roofer, and that roofing company was unable to provide financing. So now that friend of mine is looking at her bank to get a home equity line of credit in order to get the roof done. So you have options out there, and the reason I mention is because my friend, she didn't know what to do. She has an active leak right now and wasn't sure what she could do. So when she talked to one of the companies that does provide a loan for it, the cost of the roof was almost double what the other quotes were. So they were not only charging, getting her an interest, she's paying the interest, but she's paying a higher cost. So being able to find alternative means of getting the financing is important. We have Rick in Buffalo calling. Rick, good morning. What can we do for you?
Hi. I was thinking about siding my house. And I want to know, how would I determine, because I don't want to put too much money into my house because I want to make sure I don't overspend to modify it.
Right.
I get my money back out of it when I go to sell it.
That's a great question, Rick. So your house right now, what kind of siding do you have?
Right now I have the asbestos shingles on it.
Okay. So they're more commonly referred to as a composite siding, and they do contain usually somewhere between 1% and 3% asbestos, but it's important that we're aware of that before we start ripping shingles off. It may be in your best interest to call on someone qualified if you're planning on removing those shingles. Now, I know that some companies have gone over the shingles. I don't know the particular details or what's within code to do, but putting new siding on a maintenance-free vinyl, depending on the area, is usually the route to go. Not terribly expensive. It's not terribly time-consuming, and it could definitely add value to the home. We have to take a break right now, Rick. So I hope I answered your question. If not, you're welcome to give us a call back, but we're going to go to break right now.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage, at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Rob Blake sitting in for Peter Hunt. Our House is brought to you by HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is easier for your home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web for a complete inventory of homes available in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, and Syracuse markets. You will also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at HuntRealEstate.com. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Utica, Watertown, and Phoenix, Arizona. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. For more information about our exclusive mortgage program that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to buy the before and live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. Ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan as well. Only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. For those of you who prefer to simply pick up the phone, you can call Hunt ERA Customer Service at 716-633-9400. One of our customer service representatives can instantly direct you to the appropriate professional for your particular needs. Buying or selling a home, financing, insurance, or even home improvements. Remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan available only through Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. Again, I'm in the studio with Matt Albino. Matt, you and I were talking right before the the break with a gentleman who called in from Williamsville named Rick, who had mentioned he had some composite siding that may have some asbestos in it and was looking for a little advice. It was right before the break, so we had to cut him a little short. So I wanted to just delve into that a little bit. I had mentioned vinyl siding, but there is a number of different sidings out there. Wood clapboard, very traditional in older homes, Victorians, and oftentimes throwing up something like vinyl on those will detract from the value of the home because people in particular areas want to see that historic character maintained. But you had come up with a good suggestion that I should have said immediately, which was...
Yeah, I've seen those homes receive complete facelifts by simply a good coat of quality paint.
Yeah, quality, like a three-color paint on a composite siding can make the house look absolutely stunning. And composite siding holds paint better than just about any other
extremely
paint.
Extremely durable.
Yeah,
as
it's
well.
Great. It's a phenomenal product. They don't make it anymore for the obvious reason. But we have, you know, vinyl siding. I've seen old asphalt shingle siding. I mean, you tear that off, and beneath it they found beautiful wood clapboard that they've scraped and painted and made the house look phenomenal. So there's no shortage of options out there for you, Rick, if you're still listening. However, the one thing I will point out is the peeling paint issue. In the event we have peeling paint, that is something we have to, without question, want to address before you put that house in the market. We have another caller right now. We have Chris from Tonawanda calling with a foundation question. Chris, what can we do for you?
I actually live in Tonawanda, and I have a split-level ranch.
Okay.
Half basement, half crawl space. The crawl space part is literally about 4 or 5 inches off the driveway, but the opposite corner, which is the dead side of the house with no doors, has an old bushes and almost at grade type of level that goes right up against the house where the siding goes down and kind of touches the bottom of the grass, and that's where the foundation top of wall is, the sill plate. I was wondering what would be the best process to... Every now and then, if it's a heavy, heavy rain, I do have water that comes in. My downspouts go into the downspouts, and they go underground, so the water is taken care of with the gutter. But as it kind of pools near the house, that's where the challenge is. I have some seepage over the sill plate that just kind of pools just a little bit inside the crawl space of my home.
All right, not uncommon. So this is something that we encounter very often. So you've already hit upon the first thing. Whenever we have water coming into a basement or a crawl space, you don't look down, you look up. Typically, it's going to be a clogged gutter, downspout. I've even had drain lines that were clogged with roots, potentially collapsed. I'm assuming we don't have any of those issues, correct?
Correct.
All right, so the next thing would be grading. Is the house have a negative pitch or a negative grade to it that's pulling the water towards the house?
No, it's about level. It's just excessive rain that kind of has nowhere to go since the ground would be so saturated. It just kind of it comes up and, you know, the ground does a good job, but it does, you know, only can do so much.
Right. So your next, if you could slightly grade it or pitch it a little bit more from the house, obviously we don't want to throw it at your neighbor. You're not going to make friends if you're flooding out their driveway. But if that is doesn't work for you, one of your options, and it's a little bit more on the pricier side, but it does typically take care of the problem, is putting drain tile in, digging the trench out. Have you had drain tile or have you spoken with someone about getting drain tile put in?
No, I would do it myself, and I had the ability to tie into the front bubbler.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
If I can actually do two French drains that go to a solid pipe that would wire into that, would that be sufficient?
It sounds like it would, but you're in Tonawanda, so before you do anything, make sure you're clearing that with the town because they are very strict when it comes to having like a sump pump and inspect, making sure the bubbler's working properly. So that's something we encounter often. Before you do anything, make sure that you're talking to them because you go to sell the house, and if something's not up to code or done properly, you could find yourself in some hot water.
Right, yeah, because we do have when we purchased the house from family, they were required to install a sump pump.
Yep.
Opted to have the water backup installed as a better version, and Frank's basement did great, so I wanted to make sure that the things that were done to the house were done by professionals, and things thus far are all obviously up to code. And
no, that's really smart, and I like Frank's too. I've used them a lot, so I'm glad that you went with a professional. But I really appreciate the call. It's something we encounter often. So thanks, Chris, and good luck. And hopefully, if you get it taken care of, give us a call back next week and let us know how it worked out for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye. We have another call here. We have Tom calling in from Hamburg. Hello, Tom.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I was just, I heard the early part of your show, and you were mentioning using lawyers for closing your real estate deal. And I've lived in states that use title companies.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it's all the big states, actually, Texas, Florida, Arizona. And I'll tell you, I wish that New York State would go that way.
The lawyers have written themselves into New York State property law, so you can't buy or sell a house without having at least one attorney involved. So the objective is you get someone. I tell people over and over again, Tom, you have to make sure you get a real estate attorney. Get somebody that's recommended, that has a good reputation, that does this every single day. Someone who knows the law, because you encounter these things. If they don't update that title quickly, if they don't review it properly, if the survey isn't done, all these things that if you're not doing this every day or knowing what to look for, who to call, can dramatically increase the length of time it takes to close on a property. And it's the nature of buying or selling a home in New York State when you're going to deal with at least one attorney.
Yeah, I understand that, but I just like to give quickly my experiences. And, you know, it's funny because I've bought a lot of properties in Florida and all throughout. And the title companies, I mean, they're just great to work with, and they're bonded higher than a regular lawyer in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so efficient, and they're so good to work with. You could close a deal in 7 days. You know, most of the agents, they write their contracts 30 days or less, and they're so efficient, and they got it down so tight. But the attorney lawyer lobby in New York State is just about almost as strong as the teacher lobby. That's a shame, because it's so nice to work with title companies, because I have never, very seldom ever seen, when you take a deal to a lawyer, they're going to find something, even dot an I or cross a T, to justify their payment, you know?
Well, I can understand your experience. I personally have worked with some attorneys that have earned their fee many times over. It's, you know, usually, yeah, the run-of-the-mill boilerplate stuff, and they're getting their fee, and they're basically just updating things. But then when one thing goes wrong, that's when they actually earn their fee. And I've told people that when we're sitting down and we're getting our contract signed, and I say, do you have a real estate attorney? And they don't have one yet. And they say, well, who's the cheapest? Or how much does he charge? Or that one's $100 less. I'm going to go with that one. I say, don't. I don't know this person. They may be great. They may not be. But these three people I have worked with, and I've had deals go sideways and fallen apart because the attorney or one of the attorneys involved didn't know what to do, or just didn't answer a phone call, or went away on vacation and didn't have someone cover for him. So those kinds of things do come into play, Tom.
Yeah, you hit it right on the nose. They're on vacation. This one's on vacation. But have you ever closed a deal with a title company? If you did, you would know what I'm talking about.
Well, I know all the attorneys that I work with do use title companies. There's a couple of big ones out there. I know Hunt Real Estate has their own title company called Network Title, that anyone who's a Hunt attorney or with our what's called our legal plan does go through a title company.
Have you ever seen them close in 7 days, 8 days?
I've seen them close. I don't know if it's been 8 days, but I've seen them close in less than 20, sure.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that was just a little pet peeve of mine, because I've dealt with attorneys, and it's funny you mentioned vacation, because it seems like one attorney's on vacation, and you have to get both of them together, and, you know, it's the title company is such a smooth, efficient way, and like I said, they're bonded, and the title companies always have attorneys anyhow, you know?
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, that they're just so powerful. It's never going to happen in New York State, you know?
I understand. Well, thanks so much for sharing your experience, Tom. Have a great day. So, and Tom is right. We do have a lot of people involved. Sometimes it can be a little bit more challenging. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you surround yourself with a good team, if you get people that you trust, that you'd like to work with, that you know are experienced, it absolutely, without question, helps the whole process. A couple of things I want to just talk about real quick, because I have a few listings out there right now that I'd like to share with people who are listening. We have a beautiful home right now, a single family at 537 Bird in the Elmwood Village, listed for $269,900. It's in an absolutely incredible location and fantastic condition. I have one I've just put on in Snyder, which is Williamsville, listed on Amherstdale for $239,900. It's in Smallwood School District. It's absolutely beautiful. Updated, renovated kitchen, hardwood floors, great room sizes, huge backyard, two-car garage. It's a beautiful home, being held open today between 1 and 3 o'clock. If you're free, I implore you, take a look at this home. You'll be blown away by it. I have another one for those who are looking to rent and want a nice big single-family house but don't want the commitment or don't intend on being in Buffalo for very long. We have a beautiful one at 420 Berryman. And again, this is in Snyder, listed for $2,400 a month. That's a nice four-bedroom, two full bath, two half bath, finished third floor, finished basement, no rear neighbors. I get another two-car garage with electric opener. Beautiful home in very good shape. So if anyone has any questions or would like to speak with me or a member of my team, you're welcome to call me on my personal cell, 716-225-6273. I have a buyer specialist, Amber Boudet, absolutely incredible. Two other buyer's agents, Amber Ream and Aaron O'Connell. Katie Dowdell is still with us. You're welcome to call us at any time. We'll be happy to help you for any of your home ownership needs, buying or selling a home. So a couple other things I'd like to talk about before the show wraps up today. Just talking a little bit about location. So one of the most important things, or the most important thing in real estate, is your location. Matt, when you were looking for a house, what was the primary spot that you were hoping to be within?
We were hoping to be in the Lancaster area.
Okay, why is that?
Well, my fiance is born and raised in the Lancaster area, and since I've lived in the Western New York area, spent most of my time in that area. I like the access to stores. I like the neighborhoods. Throughway access is relatively easy. It's just a small town that I've become accustomed to, and enjoy living there.
So when you're looking to purchase a home, there's one of the things you want to take into account more than anything else is the area. Now, different areas are going to typically dictate different types of properties. So there's definitely going to be pros and cons. And when you're working with your realtor, you want to have that frank, open conversation with them to say, what's great about this area? What's not great about this area? And that's one of the things that some agents may have difficulty discussing. So you're looking at an area, hot spot in the city, for instance. A lot of the houses are going to be 100, 120, 130 years old. So they're going to have older mechanics. They're going to be older wiring, old windows. They're not going to be as energy efficient. And they're still getting commanding quite a high price tag for the area. They also will typically have lower taxes in the city of Buffalo than you will, say, in Lancaster, West Seneca, or Cheektowaga. With new builds, you get a beautiful home that's custom made for you, but you're going to pay a premium for that. And oftentimes, we don't see appreciation right out of the gate. You're in that home, and let's say you want to sell it in a year. It's less likely that someone's going to buy your home if they're going to buy a brand new house for the exact same amount one block over, and they can custom the way they want to. So all these things need to be taken into consideration. So the area will, without question, dictate the type of property that you're going to be looking at when you're out there. And I know, Matt, you and I looked at quite a few homes beforehand. And then we had to make decisions about, do you want to buy a house that's more needy, and how much are you willing to put into the house?
Right.
So your house was impeccably maintained, and I think that was one of the main deciding factors for you when you guys bought the house.
It really was. I've got a demanding schedule, as you do, Rob. Mm-hmm. I travel quite a bit professionally, so getting into a home that required a bunch of work and a bunch of maintenance just wasn't something that I had the appetite of doing at the time. And I want to make another comment as to, you know, why it's so important to really look at where your potential home is going to be, and that's school districts. Those of us with children really have to take into account, you know, how long we're going to be in this area and what the school districts have to offer for our children. You know, I have a daughter in the Lancaster schools. She thrives there. She loves it. That's one of the main reasons we anticipate staying.
Right. And people are forced to make that decision often when you have a young family starting out, where the kid's going to go to school. In the city of Buffalo, you're somewhat restricted on some of the schools that you're going to be going to. Are you going to pay for private school? Are you going to use the fact that we have lower taxes to then parlay that and pay for private school? Maybe it makes sense if you want to stay in a particular area. Or
sure.
Do you want to move to an area that has great school districts? Usually you pay a little bit more in taxes or premium for that. So seesawing that and figuring out what's going to be right for you and your growing family is incredibly important. That's a great point. So I thank you for bringing that up, Matt. Other things that we're taking into account when we're looking to buy a house is the next after the location is going to be the layout. How does this house live? How does it feel when I walk in? As we're walking through these houses, it doesn't matter how new the roof is, how great the electrical is, has it got a fenced yard? If I'm inside and it just doesn't feel right to me, that's one of the things that I talk to my buyers and I say, okay. That's a viable reason to say this house isn't right, because when I'm going through, I want to make sure I'm doing right by my buyers. So I do all these little things, and then I stop and I shut up for a second. I say, okay, how does this house feel to you guys? Do you like it here? Does it feel right to you? No? All right, let's get out of here. Let's go to the next one.
I remember you doing that when you took me through my current house, Rob, and it's super important to me to have a very open floor plan. I like having family over
right.
and friends over and,
right.
you know, the kitchen being open to the family room
yep.
area is very important to me, and something that we found in our home. But I remember you explicitly said, you know, walk around the house and imagine yourself living here. And
yep.
It's so important for new home buyers to really take that into account when they're looking at a property. Imagine yourself living in the property.
Absolutely. And I don't care about what color the walls are painted. I don't care if it's got wallpaper, you got a strip, or even if the carpets are all old and disgusting. Oftentimes we pull those up and, hey, there's the beautiful hardwood floors that have been protected for the past 40 years in mint condition. So those kinds of things are non-issues for the most part for most people. It's, are we in a good spot? Are we structurally sound? Does it live well? Does it feel good? You could fence the yard in. You could pour more concrete and make a bigger driveway if you wanted to. But starting to move walls, moving mechanics like the HVAC runs and moving electrical and trying to get the flooring to match up, now you're talking about spending a lot more money, where usually it's more cost effective to say, well, let's just keep looking in the area and find a house that does feel a little bit better to us. So don't forget that when you're walking through these houses with your agents, folks, you don't want to have just a door opener. You don't want someone that's going to open the front door and say, hey, what do you think? And that's it. You want them to pull you back a little bit, because it's a fun, it's exciting experience, and you're so much happening and so much going through your head that sometimes you forget to say, where the hell am I going to put my television? Where's my couch going to go? Am I going to have the glare from the window coming on this every day? So having someone that pulls you back a little bit, isn't looking just to make a quick buck or make their commission, who's actually thinking about you being in this house long term, you're going to be here for the next few years, that agent should want you to be nothing but ecstatic, so that when your mom goes to sell her house, when your best friend goes to buy their first house, that they're going to recommend that agent. They're not looking to make their commission now. They're looking to develop a relationship that's going to be long term, that you are going to feel comfortable recommending them to whoever comes to you and says, who do you use for your agent? Would you recommend them? You should want to easily say, yeah, you got to use my guy. You got to use my girl. They're amazing. So that's a great point. Matt, any other things about location that you think are important for people to think about besides just the school district? Are there things that you and your fiance had talked about when you're saying Lancaster? Other things like maybe access to a throughway, locations, walkability of a neighborhood, things like that? Did that come into play when you guys were talking about it?
Yeah, so as we've lived in our property for the past 3 years, we've kind of discovered some things that we would like to do differently for the next home.
Good.
And one of those is a bit more privacy and a bit more space.
Very good.
We're probably going to move on to something with an expanding family. It's necessary for us to get into something with another bedroom, maybe another bathroom. So one of the characteristics we're going to look for in a new home in the next couple of years is, having some access in the backyard and maybe some privacy backing up to woods or something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
That's one of the things we take into account when I'm talking to my clientele. I hear things like fenced yard. That's one of the things that I don't specifically tell them that they should focus in on, because you can fence a yard. When I hear something like no rear neighbors, that's something completely different. We want to see, okay, we back up to some federally protected land here where we have a wooded area. Fantastic. They're not going to have rear neighbors there. That kind of thing we take into account. We have Wayne in West Seneca calling. Good morning, Wayne. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm well. What can we do for you?
Well, I just was wondering, I was telling your call screener there, what happens to your property value if you have a zombie home next door to you? That's question one.
Well, it doesn't help, Wayne. I'll tell you that. I've actually sold a couple of properties where we had neighbors who were either just gone, they weren't there, things were overgrowing, or sometimes you have neighbors that don't take care of the property as well as they probably should. And if you're looking to sell your home, and you're not going to like the answer here, Wayne, but I've actually advised people, you might want to go out there and mow the lawn for the neighbor, because we have an open house coming this Saturday, and that could impact how people see your home. If there's trash and things laying in between the properties, go over there and pick it up. It's a little bit more sweat equity you're doing to somebody else's property, but if it's going to increase the property of your the value of your home and the saleability, it's advised.
Yeah, well, I mean, the bank or whoever is keeping up the property pretty good, with cutting the grass and stuff.
That's good.
But, and my other question is, why can't Hunt Realtor or any other realtors, why can't they put some pressure on these banks? You say there's always a shortage of homes, yet, but there's a lot of these properties.
Oh, my gosh, we do. Wayne, that's I mean, realtors, when we're just sitting around the office sharing stories, one of the things we say over and over again is, why are these banks, they can't get out of their own way. What are they doing? Why would they not take care of this property a little better. This property, I've had clients call me and they say, Rob, I want to buy the house right behind my house. It's falling apart, but you know what? We love the area. We want to fix it up. We want to maintain it. We've called the bank 20 times. Can you help us? Sure, I'd be happy to. I try and call the bank. I get the runaround. It's going through an automated system. There is no person to actually speak with. I'm sending emails to people who I know who work at the bank. Could you please forward this on to your manager? Can I have your manager's information? And then I talk to the manager or email the manager. Would you please put me in touch with your supervisor? And I can't tell you, Wayne, how many dead ends I've run into. And we're just sitting here shrugging our shoulders, throwing our hands up, saying, why? This just doesn't make sense. It doesn't pencil out. It's not in the bank's best interest to let this property sit here. I have someone who wants to buy this, to take this off your hands right now. Right now, you're paying for some guy to mow the lawn. You're paying the taxes on the thing. And you're having neighbor after neighbor complaining. It's giving you a black eye in your reputation. And I have people who want to buy it. Please let me sell it for you. And I get nowhere.
Yeah, I see.
It's a shame. It really is a shame, Wayne.
It does seem like the towns, as long as they're getting their property taxes and whatever, school taxes paid, it seems like they just don't care.
Well, maybe something you talk to your town representative about and putting pressure on them. That may be the route to go. You know, when you're just one person representing a potential buyer, it's one thing. When you start getting the politicians involved and you start getting the name out there, or talking to media, calling in the Buffalo News, calling in your local news station, that might be a route to go for you too, Wayne. And you and I, I'm sure, have seen the same stories on the news as well. So that'd be my best advice. So good luck, Wayne. I hope you get it taken care of. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. We have Paul from Kenmore calling. Paul, what can we do for you?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm just wondering if you think that home builders might start building smaller two-bedroom ranch homes in the future, if you think there's going to be any kind of a demand for that.
Well, they do, but it's more I typically see in a patio home type of environment. When it comes to building, it costs a lot of money to excavate for a foundation, for the building materials, to get the crew out there. So usually they're looking at the bigger homes that are going to get more bang for the buck when you're doing a sale price per square foot. Obviously, the bigger the house, the lower the sale price per square foot, the more attractive it is, the more likely you're not going to have issues with appraisals, and the more the larger audience you're going to reach. The two-bedroom home market is a much smaller slice of the pie. And when you're a builder, you're looking at maximizing profits. You're in this for a business. Even when I have a young couple or a single buyer that's looking to buy a house, and I say, how many bedrooms do you need? And they say, oh, you know, one, maybe two would be fine. I'll say, why don't we look at a three-bedroom anyway? Because unless you're going to live in this thing for the next 30, 40 years, if you're going to sell it, it's going to be far easier for you to sell a three-bedroom than a two-bedroom house. Builders know that as well. So when they're putting their money into it, it's more cost-effective for them to actually put the money into a three- or a four-bedroom home, Paul.
So you're probably not even going to find a new two-bedroom construction then?
No, they're out there, but there's not nearly as many. And, again, they tend to be more of the patio homes. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a ranch, something along those lines, usually in a community with an HOA that takes care of lawn maintenance and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Paul. So a lot of great calls today, so I want to thank everybody for coming in. Also wanted to mention that Hunt Real Estate, HGTV, is filming at an open house today. And let me just see if I can get the address for everybody, because it's great when we have major networks coming in and looking at property here in Buffalo, New York. I know I was on the House Hunters show when they filmed in Buffalo last time. Today they're going to be filming at 9281 Tonawanda Creek Road. That's today between 1 and 3 o'clock. So if you're interested and you want to maybe get on the television, you're welcome to stop by that property. Again, the address is, 9281 Tonawanda Creek Road in Clarence, New York, 14032. Stop by the open house today, and you can see HGTV filming there today. So I wanted to just kind of wrap up everything we talked about today a little bit here about location, about prepping the house for sale, and for getting for the things that you want to look at. It all boils down to working with that team, with people who are qualified, with people who you trust, people who know the business. And that's going to be from your realtor to your attorney to your lender, And to all the people that are involved, you want people that are looking out for your best interests. So find someone you like. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Listen to the good experiences. Listen to the bad experiences, too. Hop online. Look at reviews, because this is going to be most likely the biggest investment you're ever going to make in your life, and you owe it to yourself to do your homework first. Matt, anything else you want to add before we wrap up our show today?
No, I just want to thank you, Rob, for the time. I enjoyed myself, and thanks for all the callers.
Oh, yeah. You're very welcome, man. I appreciate you coming in and visiting us today. Remember, if you have any questions, you're welcome to call Hunt Real Estate at 716-633-9400. And for your mortgage needs, 716-633-3700. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great day.